Welcome, beautiful you, to Girl on Her Moon, the podcast. My name is Jordan, and I invite you to join us as we connect, share our experience, and become one for a moment. From topics like self-worth, creativity, expression, intuition, and soul, to astrology, numerology, tarot, energetics, and more. And then the topics that are undefinable and ungraspable. Exploring what it means to be alive, to be rooted in both our divinity and humanness, and returning to the space where they are one. Thank you for being on this journey with us. Welcome to our first month of 2023. It is January, and as of today, we are beginning a new episode segment that will explore the astrology of each month ahead. And just to preface this a little bit, the reason that we're doing this, I really do believe, and the foundation of almost all of Girl on Her Moon is the belief that we are one with these astrological movements, that our soul's intentions are aligned with these planetary movements and with the intentions of the planets as they move. And so this isn't, or these episodes aren't something that you need to memorize or feel like you need to be up to date with, but it's more of a tuning in and seeing these astrological movements as a mirror to see our ever-changing selves and where we're being guided to move and shift and transform. And so today, as we explore January, we have Issa with us, who you all know. Thank you so much for being here with us again.
Hello, Jordan. So lovely to be back on.
I'm very excited. I'm excited for this first episode because I feel like when you start something new, you're kind of with the little seedling of the idea, but 6 months from now, these may be completely different and we have no idea what they're going to evolve into, but I'm excited to get started.
Yeah, well, two Aries to talk about seeding is maybe the right duo to talk about it. This year is really such a big change in tone from what we've been experiencing. And so to kind of kick off this year, taking just a tiny step backward into solstice and looking at the chart of solstice to set that tone, we've got really strong cardinal energy that's bringing us into the wave of this new year. Jupiter came to 0 degrees Aries. Capricorn is 0 degrees Aries on solstice. That's how we know it's solstice. And then Ceres is in Libra at 0 degrees. So we've got some major cardinal energy. And cardinal energy, for people who don't know what it's about, is that initiating energy. The cardinal signs start us anew. We have this refreshing of a new wave kind of coming in. And within that initiation, within that beginning, is the seed, the spark. That's 0 degrees Aries, or it's also called the zero point in any of the cardinal signs. And in that zero is the energy of infinity. That's why it's so special, because, in that seed is the entire oak tree that gets to rise up when it's placed in the right environment and cared for and tended to properly. And so we can really be empowered at this time to take destiny into our own hands, to be cultivating a new story for ourselves, for our collective, as we begin this new year of 2023. So it's a really beautiful entrance into a new story that's just beginning to emerge.
That was such an exciting start. Obviously, both of us being cardinal signs, even just talking about that, I just get like so excited and pumped up.
Me too. I'm like, change. I love it. Yes, more. Give me. So yeah, we're the ones in that sort of energy that feel excited and liberated by that. And then to kind of speak for our earth and water sisters and brothers, you might be feeling very different about that, you know? And even some of our air people, like people with the South Node in Aquarius, like can really look at the need to take action on our own behalf as a very terrifying prospect. So I want to also be there with you guys and hold you and love you and let you know that it's okay. We don't have to go too fast. It's just one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's progress too. And that's change too. And, you know, we're still starting this year off in some really important retrogrades. So it's not gunning it from the beginning.
Yeah.
We've got Uranus retrograde, we have Mercury retrograde, and Mars in retrograde. So this is still in the beginning part of the month. We're really wanting to stay in that pause. We're building energy at the beginning. And we have been in the last quarter of 2022. So, you know, stay with it because it's kind of, I don't want to say a slingshot exactly, because I feel like it's more like there's more of a structure that's getting inflated, more like a balloon or something like that. Mm. Maybe like a hot air balloon or something that's getting ready for its liftoff, but the air is still building inside of it. We're still gestating here. So don't push yet. Like that's not how we're starting the year off. We're still in a sacred pause. We're still in the energy of that solstice space, which is about the sacred pause and going deep into our own descension into our being, so that in that descending energy, we find that spark of light that dwells deep within us, so that it can then begin to rise from our lower chakras up through the crown when we get to summer solstice. So, you know, that energy is still really low at this point in year and is still just beginning to rise. So give yourself that space to fill up and build your reserves a little bit more before we start taking action come Mars going direct on January 11th. So that'll be kind of the beginning of when action needs to start. And I'd still pace yourself until it moves past its shadow period in March. So don't worry, for those in the Northern Hemisphere, you get to still be in your winter incubation stage for the season. How does that feel for you guys below the hemisphere? I'm so curious, Jordan.
Well, it's interesting because like I really connect with what you were saying about a building energy. Mm-hmm. Like it's the last quarter of this year, even now, again, with this burst of cardinal energy, but there is something that's like, but don't go yet. It's all this building up, but don't go yet. Like it's, yeah. And even with the solstice, it feels that same, but it feels like I'm trying to really grasp the energy of the solstice right now. It feels like even more preparation, but in the sense that it's like you get a peek into, look how big and bright and beautiful it can get. And for me, the past few days have really been, there's just so much excitement for my year ahead. There's so much excitement. And I feel like the solstice has really brought that out as well. Because it's really just been like, look at all the brightness that's ahead. Look at what's possible. And it's, you can feel it all building. And so I'm very excited for that. So do you think, this is going past January a little bit, but you mentioned the end of Mars retrograde's shadow. And I have actually heard quite a few people refer to, this is obviously also because of the astrological new year in March, but I've heard a lot of people say that it really does feel like the year starts in March. Is that just because of the new year or other things as well?
This year, it's because of other things as well. And I mean, I'll be very transparent about my bias that the new year is on the equinox for Aries and not our made up January 1st time period. So, you know, we're all kind of working with the numbers and, you know, making it make sense for each of us. But I do feel like, and, you know, for those who want to learn about the full energy of 2023, we're going to be doing another episode where we discuss the year at large. So make sure to look out and tune in to that episode. But, you know, I do think that this beginning part of the year is in that end zone. And to, I guess, make another analogy to the Pisces-Aries transition of the beginning and the end being kind of one thing. And that's kind of why when we're at equinox and the beginning of Aries, we actually are having that new year. But I do feel like this overall energy of the year is the beginning of the end and the beginning of the new. Like, we're in a very transitory year where some very large cycles and also some smaller but very important cycles are ending. And a lot of those are happening in March. So we've got Saturn that's going to be moving into Pisces in March. And then we also have Pluto moving into Aquarius. And so March is a really big month out of the year. March, April, May has some of our most important dates for the whole year. So, you know, the eclipses are then, we've got all kinds of other fun things happening. And that's when there's a real banger coming, you know, like we're going to really feel some major change. And, you know, when we're talking about outer planets moving, that's when we really, really feel it. That's when collectively we all notice, oh, that's a really big shift in energy. And so, you know, when we talk about Saturn, it stays in a sign for 2.5 years. And then Jupiter is switching back right now. It was on solstice. It moved back into Aries. That's a 12-year cycle. And then Pluto, it's elliptical. So it depends on what sign it's in as to how long. But right now, like most of us who are listening, more than likely were born when Pluto has its shortest transit. So like I'm Pluto in Scorpio, and I believe you are as well, right? Yeah. And so
Sagittarius.
Oh, you're Sag. Okay.
Yeah.
But when it's in that zone, in Scorpio, it's the shortest time that it stays there. And then it starts elongating. So, you know, Pluto in Capricorn started in 2008, and we're beginning to come out of Pluto in Capricorn this year. And so that's 15 years. And then when we move into Pluto in Aquarius, that's almost a 22-year time period. So, you know, these are not small things. And that's why 2023 has this new flavor to it that we didn't have last year or the year before or the year before that. And so, you know, everybody is going to be ending some major cycles at the beginning of this year. And come spring, we're going to start launching into something new. And then even in summertime, the nodes will switch. And so that's going to be a collective focus shift as well. So, you know, that's why it's very much this beginning of the end and the beginning of the new all kind of happening. And it's, we're feeling it in this month of January. And I think that that, going back to Mars retrograde, is part of what that building energy is, because it's like, I know something is coming. I know something is happening. I can feel it in my bones. I might not be able to explain it, which Mars in Gemini wants to do. It's logical. It's rational communication. It wants to be able to say, on this date, this happened, and because of X, here's why. And that is not possible right now. And so that Mars retrograde can be very uncomfortable for people, because we're asking you to stop. And Gemini says, are you sure? Maybe how about over here and maybe over there? I'd like to go over here. Can I go upside down? What do you mean stop? You know, and so it's really in a little bit of a struggle. But if you kind of feel that energy like moving back and forth and up and down in a small container, it's building that force. So be wise, work with that building and that containment, and using your beautiful intuitive discernment, partner with the logical, rational Gemini, bring in your Sag energy and discern, and gently allow it to slowly move through, because we are at the beginning of very long cycles. You don't want to burn out too fast. And so in order to sustain that, and we're moving into, you know, some water and earth. And it's like, when we're in that, we need extra sustenance to be able to see things through. And this is, you know, especially with that Jupiter and Taurus, like that's a 12-year cycle. This is not all manifesting this year. Like, be patient with the earth manifestation process. It's not going to be instant. And so even for the Aries who are excited about that energy, that's where you can end up feeling a little deflated too, is like, oh, wow, I really want to do that, but that takes a lot more time and energy and effort than I had initially planned for. So, you know, use this beginning of this month as your plan, your time for planning. Hopefully you've been doing that since the beginning of Mars retrograde at the end of October. If you're in our membership, I've been talking with all of our members in each of our gatherings every month, like don't rush that action. You know, make sure you're allowing this new story to come in. You're giving yourself that opportunity to check yourself. You know, we really need to look at the way that we are communicating, how we're telling our own story to ourselves. What does that storyline then create as far as limitations or opportunities? And what needs to be readjusted? Remember, when we're dealing with retrograde, we're always focusing on RE words. Rethink, reconsider, redo, refine. So make sure you're taking that step backwards and really giving yourself that time to reassess Mars, your power, your egoic power, and what is it that you actually want to build, so that you can move forward in a couple of weeks after the 11th with these new realizations and new empowerment, so that you can release it slowly, because the energy is kind of volatile and you're going to feel that intensity throughout all of spring, really. And so we need to be careful in how we use that Mars energy, because it absolutely, especially while in Gemini, can be very verbally combative, very verbally, even abusive, incredibly defensive. And so, you know, what's the kind of communication patterns that you have when you're feeling out of control. There can be this feeling of losing control right now. Some people love to lose control. The fall feels fun. And other people, when they're losing control, they grip tighter. You know, this isn't about making judgments on what you do. It's just about being honest with yourself so that it can be addressed, so that you can support yourself. And, you know, once that Mars goes direct, there's a really good chance that you're going to want to stand up for yourself. And there might be some ruptures that come from potential arguments or dialogues that you need to advocate for yourself. So, you know, this is a big time around relationships. Ultimately, the first 3 weeks of January, we're in the Cancer Capricorn axis. We're in the family axes. So we're looking at authority and power and structures. And whoever it is that you see as an authority, maybe that's yourself. Maybe you have some serious arguments you need to have with yourself. And really work it out. You know, we all have those twins inside of us. And, you know, we combat ourselves just as much as anybody else. And so really being able to look at both sides of our coin and address what we see there, and in our relationships with family, chosen family, blood family, and really begin to have those dialogues that need to be had, and bring your highest self to them. That's what this retrograde period is supporting you in connecting with, so that it's not just about argument for argument's sake, but productive conversation that's honest and truth-telling, even if truth is not what we had wanted to hear, you know? So there's this very wild card kind of energy that's starting the year, but for each of us, that'll feel a little bit different as it buzzes through us.
And what is it like then adding Mercury retrograde into that mix of Mars in Gemini retrograde?
Yeah. So, go down. You know, Mercury is going to be going into retrograde in Capricorn as well. And why don't we talk about the new moon in Capricorn? Because, or actually, it'll play a role more in the full moon later in the month. But, you know, as we're dealing with the Mercury retrograde in Capricorn, this to me is really about being able to contemplate and reconsider and reassess where authority lives in our lives. Where is our own authority or not? We're kind of really addressing the patriarchy and patriarchal norms, and the ways in which the patriarchy has communicated to us about us, and how does that play into our belief systems. You know, we've got Chiron in Aries, we've got Jupiter in Aries. And so there is a connection with self in that. And that sort of seed self, that core primal self in relationship to these patriarchal themes that we've been dissecting and looking at for the last couple of years, and really giving ourselves a way to look at the traditions inside of that structure that we were all ultimately raised in, and to be able to discern with responsibility, with radical self-responsibility of how have I contributed to these spaces of powerlessness in my life? How have I played my own role in it? Where is my integrity as well? Have I behaved in integrity? If I'm going to look at different structures as they are and point out the lackings in them, can I look at my own internal structure and see where I also have lackings in my own integrity? Can I be honest about that and real about also, you know, the way that that creates an emotional reality within me? So I think we're really kind of looking at our own internal structures, how we've built our life, how we talk about ourselves, and really coming into hopefully a maturing of how we want to communicate, because that maturity is really about self-ownership. And that self-ownership is mm-hmm. what inner authority ultimately is and where your own power lives. So are we using our voice in a powerful way, or are we being destructive with it to ourselves, our internal voice, or in the way that we communicate with our family members or and those who are closest to us?
So there's a lot going on around communication right now in our relationships. Yeah.
Major, you know, and this year overall is such a reorchestration around love. And so, mm-hmm. you know, take this time to set the tone around what love means to you. What is family? What does that mean? Like, we use that word in this really obtuse way as though there's some clear answer to that. And it's really different for all of us. No matter where you live in the world, like, family has changed. And so we need to be able to evolve our relationship structures so that they can hold who we are now.
I love that. And so looking at the rest of January, mm-hmm. we've also got, we're beginning pretty early on with a full moon, Cancer full moon. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. And actually, I'm going to toss it back to you because I'm curious. Like, this is not something I've researched. I'm not going to act like I have an answer on this, but it's something I've been pondering. So I'm curious what you think. You know, this year, we're starting the year off with a full moon. And when we're thinking about timing and the way that cycles normally work, we think about obviously beginning with the new and that the full comes next. Mm. But I feel like there's I don't know if it kind of plays into the pause or it plays into this idea of the culmination of a lot of things that are ending right now. But how do you feel about the beginning of the year starting with a full moon instead of a new moon?
Well, I've really had the feeling that January, it's almost as if the new year doesn't start on the 1st of Jan. I mean, you've already spoken right. about this, but it really feels like a very, very like pulled out transition into the new year that's a lot slower than we would maybe want or desire. And I do think that full moon is a part of it. I think that, and in Cancer as well, such a huge like emotional and watery release. I think that it kind of really adds to the pausing that we're speaking about, especially as the retrogrades are still in retrograde as this full moon happens.
Yeah, I love that. I really do feel that, you know, it's like there's something kind of funny about this full moon to me. And Chiron is squaring the the sun and the moon. So the moon is in Cancer. This is a full moon in Cancer. And the sun is in Capricorn. And Chiron is squaring that. And, you know, Chiron in Aries is about not, like, Chiron is our deepest core wound. And Aries is our primal self. So there are these primal wounds in the Cancer Capricorn axis that are familial. These are familial patterns, ancestral patterns that are inside of us, you know, and feeling into that seed of how those wounds permeated in our own being feels like a contemplation that this moon is asking us to consider and for that to be part of our healing. And, you know, there's a lot of ancestral healing work that kind of needs to happen in this period of this whole year, but especially with Chiron and Aries. And, you know, so looking at our parents and seeing how we are continuing to either perpetuate these patterns of harm and or of great healing. You know, maybe we're not the first person in our family who's worked on healing our family lineage. Maybe we're not the first one who's been in therapy or done, you know, soul retrievals. Like, we need to come into a connection with our inheritance. And when I say inheritance, you know, really thinking about everything we inherit. When we say that word, we so often think about an estate or money or jewels. But our inheritance is so much more than that. Maybe it's, you know, the way we laugh or the way that we walk that's just like our mom, you know, and the way that we also, you know, avoid or, you know, all of those sort of attachment patterns that are either bringing us into greater disorganization, you know, from the attachment style standpoint. We've got the secure, now I just blanked as soon as I said it, of the avoidant and then the disorganized. And so, you know, what are our attachment styles and how do we relate to our parents, to our family? And how does that then show up in our other intimate relationships around our vulnerability style, our communication style, our habits of interaction and connection? You know, are we avoidant? Do we feel secure? Or sometimes we're here and sometimes we're just anxious and we leave. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways that those wounds behave. So I think this full moon is giving us deeper clarity in what's asking to be healed and wanting to be addressed now. What are we ready to address now?
And that kind of feels like very good timing. If you think about how many people, even yourself, are visiting family over Christmas and New Year's and whatnot, where we'll probably be confronted with a lot of those patterns that you're speaking of, that then we have an opportunity to be with and release even more at this full moon before the year starts to get going.
100%. Yes. You know, and that can be a good reframe for how you are in relationship with your family over the holidays, you know, depending on, you know, you might be hearing this after that, but, you know, to even look back at what happened during the holidays and say like, ooh, that was really tender and that made me uncomfortable and that made me want to be avoidant. That made me start yelling, you know, looking at your triggers, looking at ultimately the support that your family structure offers you in being real about what you do, you know, and getting in contact with some of that subconscious behavior pattern that only they know how to bring out. So, you know, it gives you this real gem, ultimately. It's not a comfortable one, but, you know, it's how facets are made on that diamond. And it's by being able to get real about what our triggers and our patterns are and how our family, unlike any other group of people that we relate to, gives us access to the healing tools that lie within each and every single one of us for ourselves. So, you know, instead of, you know, yelling at your brother or your mom and then just blaming them, or even if your way of dealing is through blame and victimization of self, like, oh, that's what I do. Huh. Interesting. I wonder why I do that. Do I feel safe? You know, if I don't feel safe, why don't I feel safe? Where does that live in my body? Does that feel tender in my body too? What place in my body is that? What does that organ or area of my body then tell me about that a little bit more? You know, so it's like, use your body. Our south node is still, or I'm sorry, our north node is still in Taurus. You know, our body is our ally to uncovering those wounds and really giving us that clarity on how deeply they're living inside of us, how they're manifesting, and also what we can do about it. So, you know, going through more of those holistic pathways to healing allows space for those dots to be connected and for that healing to actually be possible. So really use your body as your tool to as a means to uncover your shadow. And see what needs to be eliminated from that. Because like that hot air balloon imagery that we talked about at the beginning that's building, that south node's in Scorpio. We have to be able to eliminate those psychological traumas that need to leave the body. And with Uranus in Taurus, you know, Uranus is that lightning bolt type of liberation that comes from elimination. So they work really beautifully together with the body and the mental, emotional, psychological space. And if you're, you know, thinking about the hot air balloon example, it's like we've got to throw out that heavier weight so that we can rise up. We've got to cut those cords that are keeping the air balloon on the ground. You know, and so if you want to lift off, if you're feeling inspired, if you're feeling excited, if you have things that you want to amplify, well, only you can process and let go of what stagnates you and holds you down. So if you're needing to get some energy to rise, then there's something emotional that needs to be eliminated for the rising to occur. So you hold that key and that answer. Trust yourself.
Yeah. And I always feel that, I think it's just because of the nature of Cancer itself, I always feel there is such potential for emotional release, like more than any other moon that I usually, like just for me personally, Cancer full moon is usually huge. Throughout my whole body, my all of my emotions, everything. And so you mentioned Uranus in Taurus. How long has Uranus been in retrograde? Because it's moving direct this month.
Yeah, let me double check and see the exact moment when it went into retrograde. It's been a few months.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay, so it was back in August. Let me get our exact date. Okay, so it was August 24th, 2022, when it went retrograde. So we're finally going to be moving out of that in just a few days. It will go direct on January 25th. Or no, hold on.
I know it's in that week, but I didn't know the exact
23rd, date. January 23rd.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting, 23 is all over the numbers this year. Like, it's everywhere. And 23 is my number. I'm born on the 23rd. So I'm stoked about all the 23, and I'm sure it's part of why I'm like seeing it everywhere. Like, even, you know, when Uranus goes direct, or like in this moment, actually right now, Saturn's at 23 degrees, like when we enter the year. There are 23s everywhere. So look out for that. I would say, you know, 23 is a five. Fives are about the body. And it's also the turning point in the 10 body system in Kundalini yoga. So, you know, fives are change years. This isn't a 5 year numerologically, so I'm not going to like confuse people, hopefully, but you know, fives are really active and they're very body centric and there's a lot of changeability in them. And so, you know, keep looking out for those 23s and any signs that your body is really working with you this year.
Well, I think the Capricorn new moon is on the, like, for me, that's today, when we're recording this, December.
Uh-huh. I know. Ugh, the 23s are everywhere. It's so good. And Pluto is going to be going into Aquarius on March 23rd. It's on my birthday this year.
Oh my goodness.
I know. So cool. I can't tell you. I have literally been looking forward to this day for 15 years.
Finally leaving your rising sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it left your first house already?
No, it's still not going to leave my first house. At least if I'm in whole signs, yes, it will. But if you're doing Porphyry, which is what I use, I still have like a couple more years left. I think like 6 years or something. I think it's 2030 when it leaves my first house. But
oh my goodness,
it's a big energy change. It's like, you know, at least it's something. Before then, it's giving me a little bit of bait to see me through until then. But yeah, watch out for those 23s this year. It's going to be good.
And I'm sure that that 23 will continue to unfold in its meaning throughout the year. You'll just discover more and more about it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You know, I mean, the 22s of last year, 22 is such a special number. It's an 11 year, meaning that it's like an alchemy year. It's a transcendent year. And, you know, the twos looking at each other, we can go into the negative mind. That's the lower frequency of it. And then the higher mind is really in this place of ultimate balance of the hemispheres, you know? So it's like when you do breathing practices for 22 minutes, like 11 minutes on each side, you balance your hemispheres of the brain. It's 22 is gorgeous. And then 23 has a totally different flavor that is
not quite as balanced.
No, but you know, coming down into that body space, I think there can be some centering after that level of sort of transcendent experience or super low octave experience, coming back into that middle a little bit more. So I think the last thing that we have to talk about for this month is just the full moon, the new moon in
the new moon,
Capricorn. Yeah. I think I'm confusing myself with the full and new moon thing. But So the new moon in Capricorn will be on January 21st. And the sun and moon will be conjunct Pluto on that one. And so that intensity is going to start really coming in, even more so. And, you know, how can we be objective? The sun and the moon are in Aquarius. Let me just open up that chart. 1 second. The new moon in Aquarius, not Capricorn. I'm sorry, I said that.
Okay. I thought I'd got it wrong. You're like,
oh no, how did we all get this wrong? No, the new moon in Capricorn is on the 23rd of December. So just as it was meant to be in Capricorn season, that's why it's the new moon. But the new moon in Aquarius, I wrote my notes wrong. But they are conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. So we've got something there connected. And, you know, Saturn rules both of these signs. Saturn rules Aquarius and Capricorn, which is a beautiful contradiction to work through between the tradition and the innovation. And being able to really look at those structures, and we have Saturn in Aquarius during this new moon conjunct Venus, so that Venus can bring some harmony into play here, and the Aquarius can give us some separation so we can look at those shame patterns with some objectivity, and so that we can actually be in that witness, so that we can look at what's below that surface. How can we address those internal structures that maybe we notice during that full moon in Cancer and rework them and figure out how to align those structures with a greater sense of internal power? And Chiron and Jupiter and Aries, squaring that Pluto, or sorry, squaring Mercury as well in Capricorn. And so Mercury is out of retrograde at that point. And we get to finally voice some of those places that we've felt trapped, where we felt small, where we felt disempowered and unable to access our strength, and where we were restricted from our expansion through the way that we had structured our lives previously or even in this moment. So, you know, we're giving this new energy into the year. We finally start feeling a little bit more into this year. We're getting into some of that air energy of Aquarius. I even think of Aquarius more in the space of ether, because it's not on this planet anymore. So, you know, we're getting into the etheric realms, into the subtle, and understanding how some of these ideas have wounded us and where we can find that liberation, where we can create structures that are able to hold our liberation, our new beginning that's wanting to rise from us as the year progresses.
Yeah, I think it's actually really beautiful to have that Aquarius new moon and the more objectivity that it brings after that Cancer full moon that is more so at the beginning of the year, because that's when things really come up to the surface in a very emotional, and like you're in the middle of it often when we're in Cancer energy. You're experiencing it in real time. The emotions are your reality for that moment. And then Aquarius season and then the Aquarius new moon comes along, and we can take that step back a bit. And like Issa said, bringing that objectivity that can really help us to make sense of, ground, and then really clear out in a different kind of way.
I love that. And to add to it, you know, I think some of that emotionality and I think some of the patriarchal ways of looking at our quote unquote problems, and when something doesn't go right, or when, you know, we behave in a way that's not in our integrity, it can be so hard to admit to ourselves or to other people. That's where that defensiveness comes in. That's where the blaming and the victimization patterns come in, because we've created structures within ourselves and within our relationships where it's like, if I did something that was wrong, now I'm a bad person, and I'm not a bad person. So I'm going to defend my life by saying I didn't do that or whatever, instead of being able, you know, that's where the brilliance of Gemini can come back in, because Gemini can look at every single side that's involved and see the multiplicity of truth. Just because I hurt that person by what I did, my intention wasn't to do that. I had no idea from my point of view that it would even happen. But now that I found out that I wounded you, can I take responsibility and say, I'm sorry. I had no idea. I never wanted that. And to be able to have a conversation from a place of humility and of understanding that everybody's experience is a completely unique experience, and there are so many unintended consequences that happen from every single choice that any of us makes. And that doesn't make us a bad person or where we were actively trying to harm anybody. That's why we end up hurting the people we love the most, because there's this vulnerability element drenched into the relationship that allows that tenderness and that hurt to come from those actions. So if we can just be real about the fact that that is everybody, that we are not bad people just because we did whatever it is that we did, and we can just have the humility to say, oh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. What can I do to make it right now that I know? You know, that's the expansion of truth. That's where more information can give us an and an expansion of truth. When we try to put the but in there, that's when we get dualistic. That's when we get combative. And, you know, it's important on both sides, even if we're the one who felt harmed, to say, oh, you didn't know? Oh, okay, this wasn't active harm. Okay, you know, maybe I can find some forgiveness and some compassion for you. And maybe now that you've shared your side, I can understand what was going on your end. And this is actually sort of a cluster of a lot of miscommunication instead of ill will, which is a very different flavor. And when it's miscommunication, maybe we have the ability to access that forgiveness and compassion for ourselves and each other just a little bit more. So, you know, I'd say stay curious too. You know, that's one of Gemini's greatest gifts in communicating, is communicating curiously instead of in this hard-lined way where it's like, no, that is what happened. It wasn't anything else. You know, allow the story to grow and for there to be a multiplicity of truths, including yours, which is 100% valid, as is theirs, and see what can arise from that wonder and that attempt to build the and into something other than just the wounds that we experienced in that time. That's how you can start that process of elimination and liberation that's waiting for you this spring. So give yourself a new chance. You know, forgiveness is sometimes for ourselves and some times it's for the other person, but most of the time it's really for ourselves. It's for our own liberation.
And I think it's so beautiful that that is like one of the main messages and main takeaways, especially like I mentioned, after there is so much of that, so many interactions with family, with friends over these celebrations. So it's a really beautiful, just piece of medicine to carry along with you as you venture through the new year. And I think that that's a really beautiful place to wrap up January, unless you had anything else you wanted to touch on.
Those were the main things that I wanted to share. So yeah, I think we feel complete for January. I hope that that serves everyone as they come into the new year, getting sparked with some inspiration and joy and building energy towards the year, and then allowing ourselves to process and to heal and to readdress communication blocks that were realized so that we can make some big shifts as we head into February and the rest of the year.
Yay. Thank you. I also just really quickly wanted to ask you about this month's astrology class in the membership that you will be holding. So it's a 2023 astrology masterclass. Do you want to touch on this just briefly?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this idea that you brought me to start going into more classes as we work with our membership community in 2023. So many people have been studying and learning about astrology through Girl and Her Moon and through the membership portal. And now this year, it's time to get to the next layer together. And so we're going to start off the year doing a deep dive masterclass into the 2023 transits, and not only what they are, but how to use them to cultivate opportunities and mitigate challenges, and different somatic practices, breathworks, meditations that you can partner with these transits so that you can actually come into the higher octave of them. So much of my passion and what is really growing within me even more deeply than before is being able to learn astrology from a more feminine lens. You know, just talking about it, that's all air, that's all masculine. This is a time for astrology to embody, you know, to come down into a feeling, into an experience. When you build relationship with the planets and you know their energy, then you have allies that you can call on in each time to support you to navigate through the wild world that is life. And so we're going to be beginning to set the year in the masterclass, looking at sort of our overarching themes and how to work with it. And then throughout the rest of the year, we have a beautiful pathway planned so that we can really learn each of the elements of our charts and of looking at charts and understanding the astrological paradigm. It's ultimately a philosophy, a language to see the world through, to express and experience life through, and to really uplift ourselves through. So each month we'll be focusing on a different topic and having a live class where I'll be guiding you through each one of those topics and also holding space for your answers and, or sorry, questions and answers and being able to bring in the body into our learning process as we grow through this astrological lens as a guiding force for our life. Because, you know, so often, and I think the way that astrology has been used in the past is from a crisis management standpoint, where we get a reading when we're freaking out, you know, or when our world is falling apart. But when we work with astrology on a regular basis and we come to understand the archetypes and how those archetypes are living in each and every one of us in every moment, then we see a new story and we find our purpose and we have clarity on our path. And, you know, we understand a new way to navigate because our chart is a map for our life. If you're lost, why would you not pick up the map so that you can find the directions, right? But if you don't know how to read the map, then it's useless. So this is a year where we're going to be growing together and learning how to use our maps so that you don't always have to call an astrologer to decode it for you. We want to empower you to be that guiding light for yourself. Every single one of us can do this. So come and join us in the membership and like let's dive and flow together into these beautiful etheric waters and cosmic dreams. Like, I just can't wait for everything that we're making right now. It's going to be so much fun.
That was all so perfect. My neck is hurting from like nodding so much. That was also great. Thank you so much. And if you want to join us, I will put the link in the show notes. So you can begin in January with the live class or whenever you have the guidance to come and dive deeper into astrology. So we'll finish this episode here, but just know that these episodes are going to be happening every month. And so like Issa so eloquently put, we're going to be exploring these transits for the month ahead so we can really begin to flow with that downstream current of life and begin to work with these planets and with these transits in a really intimate and personal and embodied way. So I'm very excited for this new seed that is beginning to sprout now. So thank you so much, Issa, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. I hope you all have a beautiful beginning to 2023.